So some thoughts now on how we all got happy, a la Robin Williams. Robin Williams' greatest gift during his long career.
But it's too high. I'm a lipophobic.
Oh, dude, the water's right there, like right there.
I don't care. It's too cold for a hot blood like me.
Atticus, stop. He's chewing on his lip balm.
Yum.
Okay. Here's what we are going to do. We count to three. Push me on two. But you don't tell me, okay?
One, two.
What'd you do that for?
Baby penguins. Cute, but ruthless.
Is that a Brazilian accent or a Russian accent? Robin Williams. So many of you wanted to join this Robin Williams conversation yesterday.
My name is Meryl from Framingham. When I was a young girl, my parents divorced. And one of the things my dad and I would do when we would be together is we would go and see movies. And one movie we saw one day was Mrs. Doubtfire. And I just remember sitting in the movie theater at the end and crying just quietly and looking over and seeing my dad crying too, because the ending is very poignant, and Robin Williams' contributions to my own personal childhood will not be forgotten.
I have a great memory in the early 80s of performing in a comedy improv group down at Fort Mason, and we were really small time and we played in crappy little clubs in the city. And Robin Williams would come to the shows, come up on stage and play with us, and he was never gave us an indication that he was above us in any way, shape, or form.
What a great story, on stage with Robin Williams. And he was always ready to joke, to play a joke, or even be one.
Hi, my name's Dawn. I'm calling from Seattle, and I just wanted to share this story. I was at a very fancy restaurant in Chicago, and the waiter brought out a silver dome platter. And when they lifted it off, it was a Happy Meal. And I turned to the side because I heard a very familiar laugh. And I looked behind me, and it was Robin Williams. And that's just a memory that I'll cherish.
There were numerous tributes and moments of silence for him in performances around the nation last night. And plenty of remembrances from you.
Hi, this is Ned Visser calling from Nyack, New York. My Robin Williams great memory is when I was in college in the 70s. And I had gone from my house in the Bronx down to the Metropolitan Museum and saw this amazing mime on the steps of the Metropolitan Museum performing. He was full of life. It was a bright and wonderful sunny day, and really made everyone feel wonderful.
Hi, my name is John. I'm from Connecticut, and just on the loss of Robin Williams. What an immense talent. I have a son with autism who is coming out of his shell, thanks to great impressors like Mr. Williams was. And because of him, now my son acts on the public stage. And my son and I both shed a tear for him last night.
Williams put himself out there. So many of you have referenced that in your comments, as an actor and as a comedian. But is that vulnerability some kind of defense that hides a deeper turmoil within? Jacqueline Novak is a comedian and the author of the forthcoming book, How to Weep in Public. Jacqueline, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Do you think it's going great and, you know, this sad aftermath of the loss of Robin Williams, do you think he was hiding behind his sense of making himself vulnerable, or do you think he was really putting himself out there and in pain as he was making us all laugh?
Right. I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I don't think every comedian has to necessarily, you know, just put their mental struggles, you know, make that the focus. You know, they're both different ways of being vulnerable. You know, performing is always vulnerable.
Williams really took it to a different level. I mean, I think there are so many comedians who are really snarky and kind
right.
of acerbic and, you know, nasty. Williams
sure.
was none of that. He really
right.
opened himself up. And, you know, he was happy to talk about rehab and how funny it is and how
oh,
weird
yeah.
it is.
Definitely. That's absolutely. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, my personal experience with depression and any of these kinds of struggles is that while in the moment they're completely serious and, you know, intense in all those ways, sometimes when you recount the details or you say out loud, you know, the kinds of things you were thinking, they're so extreme that they do become comical with just that tiny, tiny bit of distance.
Well, you know, in your work, I mean, that's exactly the point. You basically take a moment that is inescapable when you're in it as a depressed person.
Right.
And looking at it from the outside, it becomes absolutely ridiculous, you know.
Yes, And it can be helpful. Like a friend of mine was saying how she tends to meditate on how, you know, how she decided she just has, you know, terrible taste in DVDs and media or something. You know, it's like you're just looking around your room looking for anything to feel bad about. And it can be something really small that's taken to the extreme. So there is something comforting about sort of just like calling it out. So it always makes me chuckle when other people share the really dark thoughts they have.
How did William's death affect you?
I actually had one of those sort of ridiculous moments because I'm with friends on vacation. And I had this moment where I said something like, God, it never ends. And then I forlornly looked out across the water. And it was just really dramatic and kind of an over the top moment from the outside. But it was completely real also. You know what I mean? I was being that sort of intense. You know, it's easier and no less terrible, of course. But it's easier to imagine, you know, someone completely isolated whose depression, you know, leads them to suicide or something. But I think it just, you know, everyone, you feel like surely they feel your love from afar, you know, surely they feel the world's love. It just, yeah. So it's just sort of this sort of panicked, desperate attempt to do something, to remind people that, you know, just
you need to reach out. Yeah. Jacqueline Novak, comedian and author of the forthcoming book, How to Weep in Public. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.